brought to you by Galinda Moser of RE/MAX. Above the crowd. Visit remaxliving.co.za.
And it's a very good morning to you, John.
Yeah, morning, Walter. Yeah, great.
Good to see you.
Thank you, thank you. I'm really happy. Traffic was fine. Everything was normal. That's good.
Well, I'm very jealous of you sitting here in your very casual, lovely looking T-shirt, and I've got to sit here with a long-sleeve shirt.
Yes, and you just straighten your tie, please.
Don't tell them, the one listener, that I'm wearing a tie in studio. Right, what's happening in green? Being green today, John?
Right, well, waste management, and everybody groans with waste management, but it's very, very important in our lives. When it comes to waste management, there's a sort of spectrum from the population unit, that's me and you and her. We consume and produce waste, organic and solid, and we have to manage that as a matter of individual responsibility. Then up to city waste management, industrial, and so on, up the line through local and national government. Always there's the mantra of sustainability intoned by all the role players. But let's face it, waste management usually costs, doesn't produce a profit for shareholders. Some recycling spin-offs like glass collection do provide profits and jobs, and there's a very efficient steel can recycling initiative you know about, I'm sure, which explains why you see very few cold drink and beer cans lying about and rather more plastic waste. But enough of that. At the other end, the end of having to deal with the failure to manage waste effectively, developments have been very slow, while the mountain of plastic waste grows and landfills live up to their name. They fill up. And a lot of plastic evades collection and gets into rivers and is washed out to the ocean. But at last, there are signs of change. If I say Elon Musk, you know exactly who I'm talking about. If I say Bojan Slat, you may recall him mentioned here on Being Green, but not quite like Elon Musk. He's younger than Musk, but he will be as well known as the Big M one day, I'm sure. He was a kid with a dream, the dream of collecting the plastic waste littering the oceans. And he's the founder and chief executive officer of the Ocean Cleanup, and younger than all the people who share his dream and are working one way or another with him on the Ocean Cleanup. It's a scheme to skim the plastic litter off the surface layers of the ocean, particularly in the Great Pacific Plastic Garbage Patch, but also elsewhere. And they've already run two successful pilot projects in the stormy North Sea. Now, Bojan Slat and the Ocean Cleanup reckon that they could actually clear up this garbage patch in a matter of 5 or 10, or maximum 10 years, if it all works.
It's quite phenomenal.
Quite phenomenal. Now, this is where the networking of technology comes in, and it's quite exciting, I think. From the surface of the Earth into space, great advances for civilized us. We live in the space age. And true to our nature, we've managed to litter low Earth orbit with space junk, about 8,000 tons of it. From large chunks like Envisat, which is defunct, but it's still orbiting up there, it's about the size of a double-decker bus, down to things like nuts and bolts and the odd spanner or two, 500,000 bits of metal and plastic. The big stuff, down to the size of about an Archie, can be detected and monitored by clever technology, but the smaller bits could be lethal if they encountered, say, the International Space Station. At incredible speeds. These things are travelling at, well, I was told, 18 times the speed of the fastest rifle bullet you could think of.
Good heavens.
Imagine a small bit hitting the space station.
That'll be the end of the space station.
Well, yes. In fact, they have to move the space station out of the way of some of these bits of debris occasionally. Schemes have been devised to do a space cleanup like the Ocean Cleanup, and the latest is a satellite prosaically named Remove Debris, which is being readied for a launch early next year. It's being assembled in Surrey at Surrey University and will be deployed from the ISS. It's got a lot of clever kit packed into it. It's about the size of a large washing machine, and the aim is to see which method works best. One of the tricks to be tested is a sort of harpoon, but there are all kinds of devices, some of them a bit Heath Robinson-ish. The Remove Debris craft will first chuck out a bit of debris itself and then retrieve it. And at the end of the mission, it will release a thin but vast sail to gradually slow the satellite down so that it enters the upper atmosphere and burns up safely along with the debris on board. At least that's what the designers hope will happen. Mm. But there's a link between space technology and the ocean cleanup on the watery surface of our planet. And that's Earth Observation, a very successful sphere of the space industry, which monitors every sort of condition and parameter, natural and artificial, and which has been assisting government planning, forestry and farming, and civil engineering for years now. Now, the Earth Observation Boffins are developing an instrument which can detect the fingerprint of plastic debris floating in the ocean and relay the data to clean-up projects. Are we going to make it before the mountain of waste engulfs us?
I
hope so. Oh, it may be a late wake-up call, but visionaries like Elon Musk and Boyan Slat are giving us hope. Have a look at the Ocean Cleanup website and Facebook page. Thanks for listening and doing the right thing. This is Being Green. I'm John Richards.
John, thank you as always.
Being Green was brought to you by Galinda Moser of Remax. Above the crowd. Visit remaxliving.co.za. FMR.